Hey friends, it's good to be with you today. I'm Ricky James, the senior pastor at First United Methodist Church of Clinton, Mississippi. And whether you're joining us online or listening to us at Supertalk FM, we are glad that you're here today. Today we're beginning a new sermon series called Road Trip. I know a lot of you are perhaps maybe on vacation or taking some much-deserved time away, and a lot of you may be on the open road. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how life in faith is sometimes like a road trip, where we learn that the journey is just as important as the destination. Today we begin by reading the story of the road to Emmaus, where we learn that sometimes on our trips, we're joined by an unexpected traveler. Well, thanks for being with us, and I hope your day is blessed as we worship together. Welcome.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its clouds may turn to gray. And I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
join me in affirming our faith using the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You know, every time that we get ready to take a trip, we have to make sure we've got all that we need, all the resources, full tank of gas, enough spending money for some snacks on the road, and if you're like me, enough money to buy the kids souvenirs. And just like a road trip, the church needs resources on our journey of faith. Yeah, we got to pay bills like lights and electricity, but we also use our resources to support missionaries around the world and here in Mississippi. And the way that we do that is through your generosity. Thank you for what you give. And I just encourage you to keep up the good work. And you can give safely and securely online at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. You can mail your check to 100 Mount Salis Road here in Clinton, or drop your check off the next time you're in the neighborhood. Before you start that vacation, stop by, have a cup of coffee with us. We'd love to see you. Any way you give, thank you for your generosity. And remember, it makes an eternal difference.
You are not alone if you are lonely. When you feel afraid, you're not the only. We are all the same, in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter. Weak or strong, you know that love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall. He so loved the world, he gave his Son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Whoa, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. Blessed are the pure in spirit, who are torn apart. Blessed are the persecuted and the pure in heart. Blessed are the hungry for another star, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And all the people said amen. Whoa, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. Said amen. Whoa, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and we're going to have a few moments for the kids. I have an unfinished puzzle with me today. In fact, the puzzle is barely started. What picture do you think this puzzle is going to show? It's tough to tell what the picture is going to be when so many pieces of the puzzle are missing. Do you think you'd be able to tell what the picture is if there were more pieces of the puzzle showing? Let's see if that's true. I'll add some more in here. And it looks like it's starting to get a little bit easier to see what our picture is. It looks like maybe we might have some construction vehicles here. So I'll keep adding some more pieces. But what about the pieces of the puzzle that are missing? What do you think are on those pieces? So let's keep adding here and we'll find out. I have some wheels. I have a smokestack here. I have a guy in a tractor. Let's see. Still going. Look, we're starting to see more of the picture, aren't we? We're getting more of the picture together. And now that most of the pieces are in place, let's see what we have. We have a dump truck. Looks like we have a crane down here and an excavator. So every time more pieces of the puzzle were added, the better you were at seeing the whole picture, right? In today's scripture story, the same thing is true for the two disciples walking to Emmaus, where the more pieces of a puzzle they received, the better they can see the whole picture. So let's find out what happens in our story. Two of the disciples were walking along a road, and they were feeling sad that Jesus had just died. But Jesus actually showed up and started walking with them, but they didn't know right away that it was Jesus, because they didn't have all the pieces of the puzzle yet. So Jesus started asking questions about what they were talking about, and they explained how sad they were that Jesus died. And then Jesus started to describe how the prophets and scripture had predicted what would happen. He told the disciples about himself, and he helped them put the pieces of the puzzle in place. Well, they invited Jesus to stay for supper, and as Jesus was breaking the bread, the disciples suddenly realized who he was. Their eyes were open, and they were filled with joy. Sometimes things in our lives are disguised, in a way. We don't always recognize or understand things that God is doing. We might encounter difficult situations or circumstances and feel confused about why God would allow something like that to happen. But we can trust that God is at work, but we might still face challenges. We won't always find out right away why we have such trouble in our lives, like how we don't have all the pieces to the puzzle yet. We just don't see the whole big picture. And we might not even understand until we get to heaven. But God promises that He's working things for our good. And we can cling to the hope that even hard things can bring blessings. We can cling to the best news of all. Unlike the disciples on the road, we do know that Jesus came back to life. And we have the whole picture of the Bible. And we know that Jesus was sent by God to die and to come back for life, so that we can have eternal life with Him. We rest assured that our sins are covered, and that one day all things will be made new. And that's the good news for today. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you that we can celebrate Jesus. Thank you for all He did for us and that all He continues to do. Help us to trust in You even when we don't understand what's happening. We know You work things for good. Thank You for Your love. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer using the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Growing up, my family loved to take road trips. Anywhere we went on vacation, we were going in a car. My dad loved to drive, and he made the rules. So we ended up, every summer at least, taking a long road trip somewhere. And every time we were getting ready to do the road trip, we'd go through the same routine. We'd all pack our bags. Mom would pack a big cooler with sandwiches and snacks and things. And typically, my dad liked to leave first thing in the morning. And so he would tell us, now, Car's pulling out at 8 o'clock. I want everybody packed and ready the night before, so there's no waiting. We're hitting the ground running. And we knew it was going to happen because we weren't going to leave at 8 in the morning. No. Every time, around 3 or 3:30 in the morning, our dad would come in our room, turn the lights on, and say, "I can't sleep. I'm ready to go. Let's go now." And it'd be like a fire drill as we were kind of getting everything in the car packed and head out. All of us exhausted and tired, and my dad just driving into the night, starting our road trip. And of course, around 8 or 8:30, he'd pull off to a rest stop because he was tired and he wanted to sleep a little bit, and we'd have breakfast by the side of the car. Road trips were just a part of our life, and I can't think of any of our really great family vacations that didn't involve these long car rides with our family. Earlier this week on social media, I asked the question about people's favorite memories of road trips, or maybe road trips that they've wanted to take, and I was amazed at the variety and yet consistency of all the answers. A lot of you mentioned how you wanted to go out west and see all the national parks. A lot of you talked about long drives you had made up the Pacific coast or the Atlantic coast, hitting all of the major sites in our nation. A lot of you talked about a rite of passage type trip, maybe a trip you took with your parents when you graduated high school, a senior trip, or a sweet 16 birthday gift. These moments that are in your mind not only because of the time period in your life, but because of the memories you made with your family or your friends. I read about a lot of you taking trips with youth groups. Maybe it was the first long trip you took away from your family. First time you were kind of out on your own, just your friends and maybe just a couple of adult chaperones. And the memories you made about life and learning about God on those trips. But I was also touched by some of you who mentioned road trips that were almost like memories of moments you would never get to do again with loved ones. Perhaps trips you had intended to take with family that you never got to. And later in life, you got to retrace those steps that you wanted to take. Memories of loved ones. And those road trips became almost ways of saying goodbye. The common theme, though, in all of those was that the journey was as important as the destination itself. And in so many of those, it was the journey rather than where you were going that made it so memorable. In this series that we're embarking on today, on Road Trip Through the Faith, I really do think that in much of our life of faith, we really do learn so much more in the journey itself than just the destination of where we're headed. Today, I want to share a story about what is perhaps the first Christian road trip, so to speak. The first time two people who believed in Jesus made a journey together, and in that journey, learned something deep about their own life. It's a story that is right after Easter morning. It's from Luke's gospel. And in Luke's story, we hear this first journey on the road to Emmaus. It's late on that first Easter day. The resurrection has happened early that morning. And on a road leading out of Jerusalem, Luke tells us the story of two disciples who are not one of the major 12 disciples, but two men who had been with Jesus and the other disciples during this week of ministry that ended up being the last week of Jesus' earthly life. And Luke tells us this story that these two disciples are leaving Jerusalem, headed back on the road to Emmaus. Now, there's actually some significant scholarly debate about where Emmaus is. Luke tells us that it's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. But there are lots of towns today that claim to be the original Emmaus. There's a theologian that I've read extensively named Frederick Buechner. And Buechner says that it's really not important where Emmaus was, but what Emmaus represented. He said, for those two disciples, Emmaus represented an escape. Any place where we go to try to forget what's happened to us, forget the pain that we've gone through, Emmaus represents an escape for these two disciples. Because at this moment in their story, their faith journey, they're still trying to wrap their heads around what's happened. They're disappointed. This past week has been something that was not what they expected. The week began with high hopes as they perhaps saw Jesus and the rest of the disciples enter Jerusalem in a triumphant parade. But it ended with all those disciples fleeing and Jesus crucified, betrayed, denied, abandoned, and put to death. Now, it's been all too bewildering, all too confusing, all so disappointing. And to add to their disappointment and confusion, they had heard a rumor that some of the women had gone back to the tomb that day and found it empty. They didn't know what to do, so they hit the road, headed out of town, to escape, to get away, to try to make sense by leaving. But on the journey, on the road to Emmaus, before they really even realize it, they notice someone has joined them on the road. Now, this isn't too odd because in the ancient world, traveling between cities was kind of a dangerous thing. There was safety in numbers. If you're out on the road by yourself, you're more likely to get stopped by a bandit, or a robber, someone who wants to steal from you. But if you had a group, you were a little bit safer. And so it wasn't uncommon for travelers, even if they didn't know each other, to kind of join together for a little bit of the journey. This guy looks harmless enough. They don't recognize him, but, you know, a lot of people were in Jerusalem that week for Passover. So he's probably just another pilgrim going along the journey. Maybe he, too, had heard the story. But what's interesting is, this guy turns to the two disciples and asks them, what are y'all talking about? And then Luke writes perhaps one of the most pitiful sentences in all of Scripture when it says the two disciples stood still and looked sad. And one of the disciples turns to the stranger and says, are you the only one in all of Jerusalem who hasn't heard what happened this week? This disciple, his name is Cleopas, and I see myself in Cleopas because Cleopas is basically asking him, don't you watch the news? Don't you know what's going on? Haven't you heard? How can you not? The stranger responds, what are you talking about? What things? I don't know what you're saying. And Cleopas is just bewildered by this. And I'm the same way. I don't know how people function not watching the news. I remember my brother-in-law told me once that he stopped watching the news because it was too depressing. Well, yeah, but you want to know what's going on, right? How do you walk around this world not knowing what's happening? But this is the moment here that Cleopas is trying to understand with this stranger who's wandered up. And so Cleopas then shares the story of what's happened. He says this, there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, But the chief priests and leaders handed over him to be condemned and put to death. He was crucified. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. This is the third day since that happened. And this morning, some women of our group went to the tomb and found it empty. There were angels there who said that he is alive. Now, what's amazing is that Cleopas, here in this moment, without realizing it, is the first to share the gospel story in its entirety. He tells this stranger what's happened. There was a man named Jesus, a prophet sent from God, the Messiah. He was crucified. But then we found his tomb empty. And the angel said he was alive. Now, I'm not sure if Cleopas really believes any of this at the moment, but he shared the gospel. And then the stranger does something perhaps even more unexpected. The stranger then begins to take over the conversation and explain back to Cleopas and the other disciple about how Moses and the prophets and all of the scriptures had been preparing them for this moment. He begins to interpret for them not only how to understand Jesus, but how to understand Jesus' story in the context of the whole story that God has been telling since the beginning of creation. It must have been a long conversation because by the time that the stranger is finished, they've reached their destination. And the men do what a lot of good folk do. They invite him to stay for dinner. And there at the table, the stranger takes a piece of bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he shares it with the men. And in that moment, the scripture tells us, their eyes are opened. And they see who the stranger is, the risen Jesus. And as quickly as he appeared to them, he was gone from their sight. And then they turn to each other, these two disciples who have just seen the risen Jesus appear and then disappear. And they say to one another, "You know, come to think of it, wasn't your heart burning while he spoke to us on the road?" And then even though it's dinner time, they get back up from the table and they carry on the road trip back to Jerusalem, all 7 miles, so that they can tell the disciples and the women, "We have seen the Lord." This was not the road trip they were expecting, not the journey they anticipated taking. So what can we learn from this unexpected journey with an unexpected companion on the journey? Well, I think there are some very important things that we can learn from this road trip to Emmaus. The first thing that we learn is Jesus lets us in on a secret about how to understand Scripture. Moses, the prophets, all of what we think of the Old Testament and the Gospel, Jesus lets us in on this idea that we should read all of the Scripture in light of the one to whom they are pointing, the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ. You see, there are lots of theories about how to interpret Scripture and what are the best ways to understand Scripture, and lots of really good and great theologians and a handful of really good pastors spend a lot of time trying to teach people how to read the Bible. And that's really good. You should study how to study. But this is something deeper than just study tools. What Jesus points us to in this road trip is that anything that we read, we should read through the lens of Jesus. God's full revelation is seen in the life, work, death, and resurrection of his Son. So here's this, what this means. Whatever we want to say about God has to be true about Jesus, and vice versa. And whatever we try to ascribe or say about God has to square with the Jesus revealed in Scripture. And so if someone says that, oh, God sent a hurricane to punish people, does that sound like Jesus? Or that God told me to be mean because we have to grab people's attention. Does that sound like Jesus? Or I can lie and cheat and steal if I have a good cause because the ends justify the means. Doesn't sound like Jesus to me. And so it challenges me anytime that I'm in a moment of decision, whether it's to try to make sense of the Scripture or to make an important decision in my life. I interpret it, asking the question, does this sound like Jesus? It's a good lesson to learn on the road trip. A second thing that we learn, though, is that this entire trip happens in community. The two disciples are walking together. Jesus opens the Scripture to them together. They break bread together. There's an emphasis on the community. In fact, after Jesus disappears, do you know what they do? They run back together to the disciples to share in community what had happened to them. You see, this story revolves around shared life and shared community. I can't tell you the number of times where I've had a difficult moment in my life, a difficult decision to make, where when I shared it with my community, sisters and brothers in Christ that I had trusted and had grown with, they were able to speak wisdom into my life. I can't tell you how many times I've read a passage of Scripture that didn't make sense or didn't seem to have any kind of clarity for me, that when I went and studied it with others, their perspective was able to unlock a deeper truth for me. I don't think it's simply an accident that God calls us into community. Rather, what we learn is that whenever we gather in community together, the Spirit of God is present with us. And so as we journey together, we're able to go so much farther because we go together. And then the third thing that we learn from this road trip is to pay very careful attention to how Luke begins this story. It begins as two disciples wanting to get out of town, running away to escape and to avoid confronting what's really happening. Remember, Emmaus is not just a place, it's an escape. I think all of us have heard news from time to time that makes us want to run away, to run to Emmaus, to run to wherever it is that we go when we want to avoid the hard realities. Maybe you've heard sometime news, the doctor telling you that you didn't want to hear. Maybe some of you have heard your spouse say some challenging words to you. It makes you wonder if you're going to make it. Maybe your boss is sent you that memo that the whole department's being downsized. All of us have heard news that we didn't want to hear. And so perhaps we run away, we flee, we avoid it, we busy ourselves and pretend that it's not true. And in spite of that, nothing seems to work, right? And here's why. Jesus doesn't promise us a life without loss or pain or suffering or death. But his story in the scripture is full of those things, but what he does offer is a way through our loss, a way through our pain, a way through suffering, a way through even death. And what's more, Jesus joins us on this journey of life. He does not leave us to drive the roads of this world alone. He goes with us. And he brings along his friends to share in the trip. Now one day, if it hasn't happened already, you will hear something that makes you want to run for the hills, to get out of town, to leave it all, to give up, and to get out. And when you do, I hope that you remember what we learned together on this road trip to Emmaus. Find someone to walk with you. Invite Jesus to open his life-giving word to both of you. Eat together. Break open the bread of life together. And remember that you don't have to go on this journey of life alone. Here's the last thing, though. When you do that, when you join together with someone and break open the word and share a table, don't be surprised if you feel your heart strangely warmed. It's just an indication that Jesus has joined you on the journey. Amen. Well, friends, I hope that you have a great week. Wherever you end up going this week, whether it's to a really great vacation or just to work, however you go, remember that the risen Christ goes with you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.